how to come when they come themselves. Hey, yeah. Actually, 2.5 story. The basement is about half towards the end. Yeah, good. Oh, you got your small table. If you got any question, or anything you want to discuss or make clear, you can ask. Ah, thank you. Sadhu. Yeah. If you don't have, maybe I will just share with you something that just now in the car, Chui asked me a very good question. Then the condition come about, where she said, very difficult to become enlightened, only can live the third phase of Dhamma. Can follow the question? Because the third phase is when you reap the fruit of your cultivation. Correct? Not? But before the third phase, I say you can also reap. Actually, phase one, pariyatti, if you finish that, your life already very good. You can reap some form of what they call benefits of your hard work done in phase one. It is very important that you understand this. Because what is phase one? Learning of the doctrine, isn't it? Sadhu. Learning of the doctrine. After you have learned what the Dhamma is, what the teaching is, you already have an understanding of what are the laws that governs life and existence, isn't it? So technically, you already have the technical knowledge or theory behind living life. But the problem is, you have not cultivated, you cannot live it yet. Understand? So, as you cultivate, you go through phase two, patipatti. Can follow? Patipatti. So, if you look at the phase one cultivation, what are the wisdom that you have already developed in phase one? The two type of wisdom. First turning and the second turning. Suttamaya panya and Chintamaya panya. If you really do that well, you actually have some form of understanding already. For some, they can also be awakened if your past cultivation support you. But for most people, it's not easy. You need to go through the third turning, Bhavanamaya Panya, that type of what they call penetrative wisdom in order to develop the true understanding of the teaching. So that's why you move into cultivation of the Dhamma under phase two, patipatti. And phase two is you cultivate bhavana maya panya, means you devote your time to develop the meditation and all those things. But as you go through phase two, you will start from theory, put into practice, then finally when you complete, you realize sanasana. That phase as you go through, you will become more and more stable in your understanding, and the wisdom starts to actually arise already, the very penetrative wisdom. So as you develop this understanding, your life improves tremendously. The analogy that I can give you is, initially, it's like very theoretical. You know, the Buddha's advice, avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. And that comes from your right view with regards to the law of karma. But it's not easy to do. Keeping precept also, sometimes people complain. Then to meditate is even more difficult. So what happens is, you know the teaching, but you cannot put it into practice and make it a living reality. And that is your problem. But as you put it into practice, slowly, stage by stage, you realize you are able to do it. Understand? Let's take for example, the four type of right effort. The initial cultivation is very simple. When you know you have to avoid all evil, do good. This is where the four right effort come in. So avoid all evil, of course you need mindfulness, where you have to keep precepts. Then to do good, you have to arise the right effort to cultivate the wholesomeness of action, speech and thought that are still not in you. So this one you need to put it into practice. Otherwise you only know Noble Eightfold Path, I must speak gently, pleasantly, right speech, appropriate speech, but you cannot do, understand not? Every time your habitual tendency come out, you're very crude in your speeches. Then you still have your anger, your emotion, your evil roots. But this is what the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil, means avoid arising the evil root. So the first right effort is, you must have the right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action and wrong livelihood that you have arisen. So this part, initially not easy. But as you train, then you realize, one day, you can abandon it already. Not so difficult. Especially if you cultivate the five ways to abandon them. Okay? So let's say after you have the ability to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood, then you become a better person. Correct? Because you no longer allow this evil root, the condition, all this wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought, and wrong livelihood to trouble you so much. Then you move on to the second phase, the second right effort. And what is the second right effort? What is the second right effort? First one is to abandon those evil root, or wrong action, speech, and thought that has arisen. Second right effort is what? The four right effort. Can I remember? The first right action is arisen already, abandoned. Second one is prevent it from arising. This one need mindfulness, understand or not? Need skill, experience, understand or not? So when you have already gone through the first phase, you realize last time, arise already, get angry already, then only think of way to get rid of that wrong thought, which is the negative tendency, the three evil root. Let's say you got selfishness, greed. Arise already, then only you try to abandon this. The second phase is, I have to soften it a bit. The second phase is, you arise the right effort to prevent it from arising. That means you are very sensitive. You have mindfulness. You can see your mental intention. Then the moment you see something, instead of like before, straight away react, get angry, now you're mindful, you realize it is going to come out. How do you prevent it from arising? You don't go and suppress it and control it. No. You have to develop the contemplative wisdom. Trace the origination factor. Why do I react? Why do I do all these things? The origination factor will tell you, your views are still not proper. You haven't straightened your view. And because your view is still wrong, that's why you still perceive that person as before. That's why you react. But you have to develop the wisdom. How can I accept him for what he is, so that I don't have to react? Correct or not? Even your husband, your spouse, or whatever, yeah? Or your good friend disturb you and other things. Your wrong view and wrong thought will condition you to become angry, unhappy. Yeah? Then you want to react and do something about it. Yeah? But the moment you reflect and contemplate, then you realize, these are evil roots. This will make me evil. It will cause me to arise the negativity of action, speech and thought, which will bring about downfall in my karma. My life, I need to decide how I want to live. So I decide to abandon it. Now I decide to prevent it from arising. And then you will come out with an understanding. What happens if I perceive it with wholesomeness, if I don't react? I accept him for what he is. Then I'm at peace. Correct or not? But how to accept him for what he is? Then you remember what Brother Teo said. Angry person say angry thing. Deluded person do deluded thing. Yeah? Selfish people do selfish thing. He or she is the way they are. Understand or not? Then you realize, like that I can accept. Correct or not? I never say they are right. Understand or not? But I accept them for what they are. So out of love and compassion and understanding, I try to find a way to help them, understand? To develop a better relationship between the two of you. So that you can really, really have good relationship. Then you think of how to talk to him nicely. Huh? The gentle, pleasant and appropriate speeches. Be courteous, be kind, be loving, be sincere, and be truthful. So once you start to do this, then you realize, it's possible to prevent the negative emotion from arising. Understand? Then your life becomes beautiful, isn't it? So instead of speech, it can also be your action. Understand? You try to perform certain actions that are very nice, yeah? Very meaningful, very helpful. Like you see your spouse very busy, don't even have time to rest or take bath or what. So you do your duty. Yeah? When they come back, if you know they have this, what they call habit of having a nice cup of tea, yeah? After they come back, or they want to have a bath first. So you try to do whatever you can, and the action will express your kind and sincere intention. And they will appreciate us. Then they will say, thank you so much. I'm really tired, but you are very, very kind. You seem to understand what I really need. And then the relationship will improve tremendously. So even your thought process is the same. You can prevent the negative thought from arising. Well, spouse, you tend to take things for granted. You see him only, the first thing is to complain. Why this guy always like that? Never really want to change. Then complain. Every time come back, not happier. Can't even have a moment of nice time to talk to him or chat with him, or develop a loving relationship so that the whole family unit can be very happy. If you start to think like that, means you're blaming him. Then the result is you cannot achieve what you want. Then negativity of thought, that negative perception of him, will create what they call unhappiness. And they can feel you are not, you're not happy with them, especially spouse. That's why you have to have goodness of heart. You have to have joy. You have to have this what they call love, compassion, understanding. So that you treat them as a family member with the proper care, proper love, and proper understanding. Then as you do this, then you realize the second right effort can be cultivated. Understand? Your actions, speech, and thought all can be in line with noble evil path. And then your life starts to change. Then you have faith. You have confidence in what you do. This phase of life will become beautiful, although you're still cultivating. Then the last two right effort is what? I have to finish up within 1 minute. Last two right effort is what? Right effort to cultivate the wholesome action, speech, thought, and livelihood that are still not in you. Okay? And that one very easy. You go and reflect, contemplate. How can I speak to him nicely, gently, pleasantly, courteously, with the appropriate love and care and concern? So all this will bring about goodness of heart to talk, communicate, and act properly, appropriately. Bring about understanding, love, compassion, joy, and happiness. So all this is possible. Then the last right effort is even more simple. After you have cultivated the third right effort, you only need to arise the right effort to refine upon all those right speech, right action, right thought, and right livelihood that you have developed and cultivated. Then perfect it. Once you have finished this initial cultivation of the second phase of Dhamma, which is Patipatti, using right effort, your life already improved tremendously. Understand? So no need to wait till phase 3. Can follow? Then after that, you really cultivate, develop the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. Your wisdom will allow you to liberate your mind. And then you have a complete understanding of the Dhamma. Then you realize it, you can live it, and you become the Noble One. And then the true third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, will arise. So before you reach third phase, second phase, as you cultivate, you will actually move into a phase of understanding where your life keep on improving. Everything is like keep on changing for the better, because of your phase one hard work. Phase one allow you to develop the understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, and that itself is very, very good. So this will give you a lot of what they call joy and hope. So not so difficult. Only need to do phase one. Phase one is listening, hearing, reading, then reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding. Then phase two, easy. Cultivate. Make it a living reality. Then as you move through, your life improve tremendously. Then when you complete phase two, of course, the reward, phase three, Pativeda, will arise. Okay? So that is a short sharing. You all should thank Chui for the condition. We say sadhu. Well, she was asking me this question. He said, not easy, you know, to become enlightened, to reach phase three. I said, not in phase three. You finish phase one, you are already very happy, already very blessed. Then I tried to explain just now what I shared with you all. So have understanding. Then you will have a lot of joy. And Dhamma cultivation is not difficult. First phase is very easy. After what I have taught you all, actually very easy. Then after that, only need to put into practice until you can live that understanding, until that Dhamma become a living reality in you. And that phase take time; it will transform you accordingly. And there is so much joy when you live through that phase. That's why phase two, Patipatti, is beautiful. Of course, phase three is even more beautiful and meaningful. So your life keep on improving, keep on transforming. Okay? Now we can start. Exceeded by 3 minutes. Okay. Today you realize the sitting arrangement is different. This is better, isn't it? I can see you. You can see me. Correct, I know. So we will try out this arrangement, which I think is good. And this one was suggested by Mi Feng. We should thank her. Sadhu. She keep on saying she cannot see me when I was here. So I said, yeah, why not? Because when Ajahn Ajahn came with Ajahn Pavero, they were sitting here. And then I said, can you just put a chair? Then first session when we meditate, I sit on the cushion. And after that, I sit up there, then you all can see me. Because when I express the Dhamma, if you can see, it's very different. Very different. Because the way it's been expressed, you need visual, what they call consciousness, together with your listening to get the what they call understanding of the Dhamma that is shared and expressed. Then when you are familiar with the way I present the Dhamma and the sharing, then you very fast understand. Okay, now we will do the homage to the Buddha. Compose your mind, develop the faith, Sada and the Virya. Then you can either pay respect this direction, the Buddha is also up there, or you can face there if you want to. Okay, we will do it. So, the Buddha is over there. So, compose your mind, develop the Sada and the Virya, then pay respect mindfully. Body and mind as one, without thought. You just go down. You can recite first, homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the full enlightened one. Then you pay respect. Those who can do it simultaneously and chant, you can also do. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Swamesu micchacara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya maja pama datana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight, like I said, for those who just came in, this will be our new arrangement. I feel it's also better. You can see me, I can see you. Then the atmosphere is a lot better. Because the direct frontage, where you can really see when I express the Dhamma, can actually help you a lot, can bring about a lot of difference. Then meditation-wise also, when you all sit in the same row, it has this collective consciousness that are more synchronized. So now, nobody new, I think everybody here before. Got somebody new. Who is it? Oh, your son. I forgot your name. What's your name? Sister Yip. Sorry about that. So he's still studying or what? Oh, still studying. College. Oh, very good. Meditate before, boy? Oh, very good. What type of meditation do you do? Many type. I heard many type. What are the specific one that you understand? Metta? Oh, how you do? Follow your mom. What did your mom teach you? Not that you remember. Okay, very good. The best is you don't remember anything. So that I can teach you from a clean slate. This is going to help you in many ways. Because meditation got a lot of advantages. Basically, meditation is a very loose word. Any type of mental training, we call it meditation. So you train your mind to read it loving kindness, then you call it loving kindness meditation, metta bhavana. If you train your mind to develop yoga, then it becomes yoga meditation. Anasana. If you train your mind to develop qigong, then it's called qigong meditation. So all these are very common name that people use. So the definition of meditation is actually very loose. Whatever mental training is called meditation. Tonight, we are here to develop a special type of meditation. In Pali, they call it vipassana. Vipassana is a Pali word, or translated into English, called insight meditation, insight. You develop insight, wisdom, or knowledge out of this meditation. So this type of meditation is to develop wisdom or insight knowledges or understanding of the reality of life and existence or the universal characteristics of all phenomena. So this meditation involves the training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. And this can be achieved quite easily if you understand. The first thing you must understand is like what we had on the whiteboard. The two categories of Dhamma, the Buddha said. The first category is called the five mental hindrances. These are mental states that hinders you from becoming peaceful, calm, and aware within. So the mental hindrance hinders you. So this first category of Dhamma is very important. Both Pali and English are written up there. So you need to develop some form of understanding. The English translation is, first two essential desire and ill will. Then you have sloth and torpor, which is sleepiness, lethargic mind. The fourth one is restlessness and doubt. When you have a lot of restlessness and doubt, you are not peaceful, not calm. When you react to sense experience, sensual desire, evil will make you not peaceful. Then when you have doubt, the last one, you lack confidence. You are very, very scared. Because when there is doubt, you don't have confidence. You are not firm in your understanding of what is going on. So because of that, doubt gives rise to fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness of mind. So this hindrance hinders you from developing the meditative mind. And because of that, you cannot develop the what they call benefits of meditation. You cannot develop the inner peace to make yourself very calm and very peaceful. And because you cannot get inner peace, you cannot get inner well-being. It's only a peaceful mind that can have inner well-being. When you are very peaceful and very calm, you feel very good inside. The energy is very positive. Whereas when the hindrances are there, you feel miserable. Because the hindrances make you restless, fearful, unhappy. Yeah. Worry a lot, think a lot. Like a lot of problem. You are very unsettled. That's why it keep on heedlessly making you miserable and unhappy. The lack of peace is very obvious when the hindrances are there. And because you have become so heedless for so long due to the hindrance, it has developed into a habitual tendency. That's why when you come here and meditate, it's very difficult for you to go into meditation to develop the peace, the inner peace, leading to the inner well-being. So these two benefits of meditation is very difficult to come by. But if you train your mind, the Buddha said, then it is possible. So how do you train your mind? The Buddha said you don't have to fight the hindrance. You only need to develop the opposite fire. He called it the spiritual faculty to strengthen your mind, to develop your own self-confidence. So the first of the five spiritual faculty is about confidence, saddha. Confidence in the Buddha and his teaching so that you will develop your own self-confidence. So that your mind is very calm and very composed. That will help you to overcome the restless mind, the doubt. Then after that, you develop the spiritual zeal, virya, which is the second spiritual faculty, to cultivate, because you know the Buddha is a fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. The wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born, to have such a being to guide you, to become your teacher and your guide, you should have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. Your mind will become very, very confident in him. Because his teaching can bring about enlightenment. It can make you understand life and liberate your mind so that you are free from all suffering. You can only have joy, peace, happiness, and what they call understanding. And such a mind is very beautiful. Such a mind understand life and know how to live life. So this will give you the confidence and the virya to drive you to meditate. Then as you meditate, you cultivate this spiritual faculty of sati or mindfulness. Mindfulness is very important. So these three, saddha, virya, and sati, you can do it when you are performing your puja, like just now before we start. You recite the homage to the Buddha, homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. These are his quality. So you develop the faith. Then, after that, you pay respect mindfully. You develop sati. And all these are wholesome action, meritorious action, bring about a lot of merits, wholesomeness. Then you can invoke this wholesomeness to help you to make aspiration, to avoid all the foolish ones, meet up with the wise and the enlightened ones, so that you can also develop this enlightenment in the here and the now. So all these are very positive and very conducive. So here we are trying to develop a type of understanding so that you know how to develop the deconditioning of your heedless thinking to train your mind to become peaceful again. Yeah. Of course, if you have the spiritual faculty, then the hindrance will be gone. But before you have to train this mind. So I will give you some guided instruction to develop this. Because the benefits of meditation are tremendous. Apart from developing this training, the moment your mind is trained, you will have inner peace because this mind will not think. This mind will just be aware and silent, peaceful, calm within. When you have this, it's very easy to have inner well-being. Inner peace leading to inner well-being will make you beautiful. You will feel that type of spiritual calmness that you never experienced before. And that is something that normal human beings find it very difficult to realize. So you can have this develop, it's a blessing. Yeah. Then after that, your mind will have clarity. Because it doesn't think anymore. It's very calm, very peaceful, and fully aware within. And that clarity will allow you to understand things very easily. If you are a student, you can actually study better. If you are working, you will do your job better, more efficient. Because of that clarity of mind. You got no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more restless. You are very calm, very peaceful, and very aware. And that advantage can bring about wisdom too. So the fourth advantage or benefit of meditation is that silent mind, that clarity of mind can allow you to develop wisdom, to awaken to the truth, to the reality of life and existence, to the characteristics of nature. The three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. Then after that, the wisdom will allow you to make better decisions in life. Allow you to free your mind so that you don't have to get yourself entangled anymore. So that you don't have to suffer and become miserable anymore. And this is very important. Then of course, it will come with good sleep. Then your life become very meaningful, very beautiful, so that you can be a blessing to all of humanity. Okay, so that summarizes what you need to know. Now, for those who know how to meditate, you can straight away start. I will off the light, then I will give instruction to that boy. Okay, so you can start your meditation. Okay, boy, you listen, You just relax your body and mind. Completely relax. Close your eyes, silent everything. Don't try to know anything, Forget about what your mother teach you. Just silent. Start from new. Then you feel, Don't think, Feel. Feel your forehead, Get your mind to feel your forehead. Means develop awareness or attention at your forehead field. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax. Relax and relax. Silently relax. Feel the brain there soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your eye muscle. Do the same. Relax every strand of the muscle within. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move it down to your facial muscle. Feel them. Each and every strand of your facial muscle. If there's any tension, tightness or stress within, relax them. Relax, relax and relax. If you find it difficult, then try to smile. Radiate a radiant smile. Imagine yourself looking into a mirror. Radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you automatically relax. So body and mind will be relaxed and you feel very good. Then you try to radiate loving kindness to your own self. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being as you reside. So you can repeat it. Huh? May I, this body and mind of mine, feel your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. So that there is a lot of well-being, a lot of joy within your body and mind. Then you continue to radiate love and metta to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. You feel that your body and mind is very peaceful, very calm, no more suffering, both physically and mentally. Then after that, you continue to radiate. May this mind of mine to be without enmity, without ill will, without negative thought or tendency. May it to keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then after that, you can also radiate. May I, this body and mind of mine to be free from all harm and danger. Without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this love of metta to your loved one. It can be your parents, your good friend, or somebody you care for. They have good relationship and affinity with you. You can read it the same. May my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. May it to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Then may they all to be free from all harms and danger too. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within the vicinity of Brother Sui An and Mi Fong Sao. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too always be beautiful, free of all negativity. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all Dhamma friends, Kayana Metta, fellow meditators. May all my Dhamma friends, co-cultivator and meditator who are here, may they all to be well and happy too. Well and happy. May their mind and their body to be free from all harm and danger. May they to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they also be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts too. Then after that, we can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings throughout the entire Subangjaya, Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, our solar system, then our galaxy, then the whole universe, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all harm and danger, free from all physical and mental suffering. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you come back to your facial muscle, silence your mind and feel it soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your neck, feel, relax, don't think, just feel and relax. Then go to shoulder, down to hand, back to shoulder. Then move it down to your heart or your chest area. Just silence everything and feel. You can feel your heartbeat or any vibration there. Just silence your mind and be with it. Don't think, don't do anything, just allow it to be. You will become very peaceful and very calm. But if you are new, you cannot have the ability to develop the type of mindfulness or silent mind to feel. Then you just feel your heart and relax, just like you relax your forehead and facial muscle. You just feel it soothingly relax, every part of it relax, relax, relax. Then you move it down to your stomach, again feel, relax every part. Then go down to your abdomen, again you feel, silent, then relax every part. Then you move it down to your buttock, your leg, feel, relax every part. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method back from the leg to your buttock, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax, stomach, do the same, feel, relax. At the heart, stay there for a while, silence your mind and feel. Then after that, move it to your shoulder, hand back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, relax every part. Eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. If you want to repeat this whole mind sweeping method one more round, you can go ahead. If you're already more peaceful, you should silence your mind and develop the stability of that mindfulness that you have developed. You can use a skillful mean called anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you just silence your mind, feel your nostril, then breathe in, breathe out normally. The moment your mind is aware of the in breath, allow the mind and the breath to move as one. Just like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware, without words. Just phenomena and mind as one. It's just like you detect your forehead, you feel. You feel your breathing, you detect your breathing, then allow the mind to follow the breathing, that's it. Every time it wanders off, you just patiently bring it back. Repeat this training. For those who are new, it's not easy. The mind wanders off very fast, but it's okay. Every time it wanders off, come back to the breathing. Train again. Then like learning how to ride a bicycle, after a while, you will achieve the ability to do it. Then as you continue to slowly develop this anapanasati, this mindfulness of the in and out breath will actually come about, then you will stabilize. As you stabilize, the breathing and the mind move as one without thought. That is mindfulness, anapanasati. Then you will develop the peace within, the inner peace. They call it the meditative peace of piti. Piti will arise. It's a type of spiritual joy, spiritual rapture. Born of a peaceful mind, born of a calm mind in sati or awareness. Then continue to relax and silence your mind and just do. After a while, this piti will become more and more refined. He will reach a state where you develop bliss. They call it sukha. Sukha is a very, very much refined state of piti. It's very blissful, especially the first time you come to experience it. You have a lot of joy, then you feel very blissful. The blissfulness is really blissful until sometimes your whole body is so blissful and you feel like you got tingling sensation and all those things, and the bliss is very intense. But you continue to relax and allow it to be. Do not develop the attachment to it. Just allow it to be, knowing that these are conditioned arising state. If I train my mind, I will go through this phase and I will experience them. Then you continue to silence your mind, just relax more and more. Then the anapanasati initially from short breath will develop into long breathing, long breath. Then as the piti and sukha arise, the long breath will become more and more clear, more and more stable. Until one day when you have enough of this practice, this long breath will slowly slow down until very subtle, until like there is no more breathing. That is a very good state. That is a sign of improvement in your meditation. Means your breathing, your life force, everything has become so quiet, so peaceful, so tranquil, so still. You will reach a state where they call it pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, with inner awareness, quiet, peaceful and silent and still. Just stay with it. Allow the mind to be. Don't even go and do sitting, touching, just silent everything and feel. Then after a while, if you're patient enough, the awareness will come back to you. Then the very subtle breathing also, you will come back to experience them like very clear, full of clarity. Like that very short, subtle breathing. It's like a lot of things inside there, a lot of clarity. Then you can maintain mindfulness there. Your mindfulness is like very different now. You have reached a level of refinement where your mind has entered sati, where you technically don't need any object of meditation to become peaceful, to become still, to become tranquil and silent. During this time, wherever you locate this mind, there is a lot of clarity. That's why you move it down to your heart. You can feel the heartbeat very clearly. Then this heartbeat initially is like a bit gross. Then slowly, slowly as it settles down, it becomes like very, very quiet and very soothing. Then you can just stay there, silent everything. And then you meditate from there. There will be a lot of clarity and understanding. Then you will come to understand how your form and mind come to be, how the mind function, how the dependent origination come to be, how upon contact of mind against the sense basis, consciousness come to be. Then at the same moment, when you introduce the content, which is very fast, you will start to understand what those content are and how your mind stir and how your mind are conditioned into various emotion and mind state. Then you will start to witness not only the dependent origination, the Four Noble Truths. Then you can start to experience the enlightenment factors, the spiritual faculty. Then when you are not heedful, you will experience the hindrance too. So all this become possible. So this is what meditation is all about. Okay, with this, I will allow you to continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 to 15 minutes time. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue your meditation. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed and trained for as long as you can. So even after you finish your meditation, if you want to rub your hand or rub your ear, be very mindful. Then you want to shift, move your leg or location or posture, do it mindfully. Mindfully means body and mind as one, okay? As you move, any small movement, activity, bending, stretching, turning, blinking of the eye, or whatever movement, develop the awareness, means body and mind as one. Initially, it's like very crude, not smooth, understand that? Because you are not used to it. Means the mind can hardly be with the body. It's okay, as long as you train. After a while, like any skillful games you play, after you train, you become graceful. You become skillful, and then you like body and mind as one. Then you can do it very gracefully. That time, you will understand what mindfulness is, what sati is. Then cultivate the spiritual faculties. This one, you must do it. Develop your puja. The spiritual faculty will be there. Then cultivate daily mindfulness to stabilize your sati. When sadha and virya, the faith and the spiritual zeal is there, it will drive you to cultivate your mind very calm, very composed, very diligent. Then this sati, if you really, really patient enough, one day you will come to understand what that thing is. When you do, don't try to know whether you are in sati or not. When you bow, you just body and mind as one. When you walk, body and mind as one. All of your action and movement, body and mind as one. Just do, like swimming. You do until one day you really know how to swim. You will know what swimming is. And you do until when sati comes about, you will know what sati is. Before that is only trying to know using the thought, using the mind. You cannot understand. But what I have taught you is a very good guide. Sati is just the silent mind. Before the knowing, before the arising of thought, means before the aggregates of mind come about, before you even perceive, arise the sankhara, activity of mind, react to arise the mental states. It's like when you feel. When you feel, there is no thought. But that feeling is an aggregate of mind, understand not? It's not sati already. But it's very near to sati because it just feel. The sankhara doesn't move, understand? That's how you can be at the moment of feeling, you just feel. And when you feel, you perceive. That's how you perceive that feeling. Of course, your mind will come in through that word, hot or cold, what type of feeling, vibration and all those things. Then your views and your opinion, your conditioning, your reaction. When you silence your mind, you will see all this movement inside your meditation. That's why when you silence your mind, you understand many things. How the mind creates activity. How the mind stirs. How you function as a human being, the form and mind. How the dependent origination come to be. All this you will come to understand naturally through your mindfulness, your silent mind. Then, after you have developed this ability to be mindful, to be aware, you have to stabilize it until within your daily living, in the midst of living, you can also maintain mindfulness. And that is the real meditation. Not until you can stabilize your sati, until you are throughout the day more or less mindful, heedful, with very little heedlessness, or very little thinking or thought process. You have yet to develop the meditative mind, the heedfulness needed to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the wisdom to awaken. That's why that daily mindfulness is very important. That daily mindfulness, if you want to develop insight, you use it to cultivate four foundations of mindfulness. You want to use it to develop wisdom, first turning, second turning, and third turning, you reflect, contemplate, then you silence your mind. Then you do the four foundations. Then if you want to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you will have to use that mindfulness to go through all the cultivation described by the Buddha under the Noble Eightfold Path. So with sati, you can cultivate the first path factor of right view. You can reflect, contemplate, and understand through your reading, hearing, and reflection and contemplation. Then once you have this right view understood, you straighten your view. You will not deviate from this right view, especially the spiritual law, law of karma, dependent origination, then law of Dhamma. So all this will prepare the base for you to develop this understanding to live life. Then this right view will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Initially, it's very difficult to know whether they are right or wrong. That's why you need to go through the phase one of Dhamma, Pariyatti, where you develop the learning of the teaching through the first turning wisdom, reading or hearing or listening. Then second turning, you reflect, contemplate to develop the understanding, stabilize it, then assimilate the understanding and prepare you to receive subsequent truth. So this first two turning wisdom is very useful. When you understand and you do with understanding, you move into phase two, Patipatti. Patipatti is the cultivation of the Dhamma that you have learned or developed the understanding through your phase one. The way you do it is to put it into cultivation in daily life so that you can live that reality. Means the Dhamma that you have understood is not just a theory or a knowledge. It can become a living reality. Means you can really do it. It's just like right view, law of karma. You know, under the five daily contemplation, the last one, the Buddha said, each and every living being, we are born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So you reflect and contemplate deep into this truth, and you know that karma is responsible for almost everything that the living being do. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of it. You cannot blame anybody for what happened to your life. So if karma is so important, what must you do? You must take care of karma. How to take care of karma? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil to good. Otherwise, your karma will fall. Then you have to develop the wisdom by purifying your mind. That's why the teaching come about this way. And how to follow the advice of the Buddha? How do you avoid evil? What are evil? You have to learn. The teaching say, when the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there in your mind state, it is an evil root. Evil condition you into evil activity. That's why action, speech, and thought become transgression, arise. The evil roots are the roots of all evil. You must be mindful to see all these evil roots. So when you know that the evil roots are there, what must you do? What must you do? You arise the four right effort, just now I mentioned before, to deal with it at the thought level first. First right effort is what? What is the first right effort? To abandon? Abandon what? To abandon the? Unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, unwholesome action, and unwholesome livelihood that you have arisen while living life. If you can't do that, you will become evil. And how do you abandon? There are five ways. What are the five ways? First one is the meditative five ways. What is the first one? Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought to counter. Let's say when you have anger, hatred, negative emotion, you radiate love and metta. When you have love and metta, you cannot be angry. Correct or not? Correct or not? Then let's say you got a lot of cruelty. You see a cat, you see an ant, you see some small creature, you just want to kill the floor. Or you just want to finish the thing off. Human beings sometimes is like that. To them, they say this is a nuisance. So when you have a lot of cruelty, what must you do? Think of the direct opposite is what? How to overcome cruelty? You must have compassion. So you feel for the small creature that you are about to kill. What happens if another giant do the same thing to you? Or somebody in authority torture you, like the way you just finish off that small creature. Then you develop this compassion within. Whatever I don't want people to do to me, I will never do to others. That's why that love and compassion will be there. And you can feel their suffering. That's why you will never do. This is how you cultivate. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought so that you can abandon the unwholesome thought. When you got a lot of lust, think of contentment. Be contented with what you have. If you already married, don't break your precept. Because contentment is very important. Then you got a lot of selfishness. Contemplate and develop generosity. When you are generous, you can never be selfish and stingy. So learn to give. Learn to develop wholesomeness, virtue, goodness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, have respect, courtesy. All these are very wholesome thought, right thought. You must arise the right effort to develop them more and more. Instead of developing the negativity of thought, selfishness, emotional negativity, delusion, fear, worry, anxiety, leading to all the suffering. So this is how right effort can help. Then second one is what? What is the second way to overcome unwholesome thought or unwholesome action and speech? Think of the consequence of allowing this unwholesome thought to stay in your heart. Let's say you have selfishness, you have anger, or you have fear, anxiety, depression, sorrow, and lamentation. All these are evil roots, the three evil roots. They will condition you into evil. and they make you miserable. You suffer like anything. And while you suffer, you hit out and cause suffering to other beings. You bring about condition for negative karma to arise. Then all these are recorded in the law of karma. Then in future, when condition is there, you have to suffer the same fate that you do to people. And the worst thing is, when you are angry, unhappy, selfish, and doing all this nonsense, you bring about condition for negative karma to arise, because you make yourself vulnerable. When you are unhappy, deluded with the evil root, the negative karma keep on arising. You will come to realize every time you got problem, when you react to it, you got more problem. True or not? But if you know how to calm yourself down and accept the reality, then through a clear mind, do what you must do and resolve it, then you realize it reverses very fast. It clear very fast. This is a nature's law. Understand not? And the third way is meditative. You just silence your mind to observe. Let's say you got anger, unwholesome thought, or selfishness. You just silence your mind and be with it. Then you realize that thought ceases to be, the anger ceases to be, the selfishness ceases to be, even the fear will cease to be. Then you realize, the original state of mind was like that. Before I get angry, before I become fearful, or before I had this selfishness, my mind was peaceful, silent, still, beautiful, at ease. No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no emotional negativity, and no selfishness. Very beautiful. But how come the mind become like that? And you trace the origination factor. The mind stir because you got delusion. You want to take advantage of people. That's why you become selfish. You think you can gain by doing those things. That's why you try to cheat. You try to deceive. You try to lie. You try to manipulate. You try to scheme. All these politicians do a lot. Even normal human beings do a lot. They try to take advantage of situation. So all this is Dhamma. You will come to know. Then you will know everything starts from Sakkayaditi, self-delusion. When you deludedly think that there is a person behind, then this thing will manifest. So retrospectively, after you have traced the origination factor or how it come to be, then you can retrospectively reverse it by straightening your view. Not to perceive things that way anymore. Not to allow your mind to react to situation anymore. Develop the ability to be at peace with every situation in life. Develop the ability to be at peace with whatever people say or do. They are just the way they are. Then reflect, like what I used to tell you. Angry people do angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. And when you understand this, your mind is very peaceful. You will not blame anybody. You will not react anymore. You accept them for what they are. Then like I explained just now before the class, you will know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. Speak gently, kindly, positively, appropriately, with sincerity, to bring about good relationship, to bring about harmony, understanding, to bring about situation that can allow you to resolve problem amicably, so that there is love, there is joy, there is happiness, so that people can really appreciate what you do, so that people can actually see the good in you. So all these are very wholesome, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. So I just go through again. First one, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Second one, think of the consequence, the danger of holding on to this evil root. They are the root of all evil. They not only torment you and make you miserable, it will bring forth the condition for your negative karma. Because when you hit out at people with your evil root, you cause negativity. Then when you do that, in the midst of that situation, you have negative condition for negative karma to arise. That's why you continue to suffer and become miserable. Like everything doesn't go right. Like everything is against you. Like last time, that family, I forgot his name. He himself got problem, then the daughter got problem, then later the family got problem. Like everything not right. But now he recovered because he know what happened and he just do the few things that I taught him to do. And Dhamma can be so beautiful. Then the third way is just to silence your mind, meditate and just aware, don't react. Then you realize the natural state of mind was like that. I don't have to do anything, I just need to silence. Every time things happen, I just silence. Then I realize the peace within. And then from there, I trace the origination vector, the fourth way. How I became angry. How my mind stirred and made me emotional, selfish, fearful. Because my thought project. Because I have delusion. Then you realize every of this that arise is through one of the sense door. Either you hear something, see something, or think of something. These three mind door are very powerful. Then you cannot accept what they are. You cannot accept the situation for what they are or what people do and say, then you become vulnerable. You can be afflicted. So when you trace this origination factor, then you know it comes from one of the sense though. Then you react because you don't have wisdom, you have wrong view. You perceive things with negativity, with fear, with worry, with anxiety, with selfishness, with emotional negativity. That's why you develop the understanding through this contemplative wisdom and through the meditation, then you start to straighten your view. I don't have to react. I don't have to perceive them with negativity. I don't have to become fearful. I only have to accept the reality of whatever that arises. Because I take care of karma, karma takes care of my life. I allow karma to rule where I'm confident of what I have done. Even the past karma, calm condition, I have to accept that reality. Where the past is already gone, I cannot change. So whatever I need to confront, I need to overcome, I will overcome it, see it through. But I will not repeat the mistake of reacting, getting angry, fearful, selfish. No more evil root. Then my mind is always at peace. Then with that understanding, your life changes. Karma-wise, it changed. You start to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Then you start to develop wholesomeness of mind. That's why the four right effort come in. The first thing is to prevent the arising of all this negative thought, negative speech, action, and livelihood. So when you have the mindfulness to see that they are evil roots, they are wrong speech, wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong livelihood, you need to determine to abandon it through the five ways. Then after you have abandoned, you will have that mindfulness that will allow you to prevent it from arising. Because you have understood how they arise. So next time when you see the condition, the same perception, the same consciousness, when you hear that person abusing you, scolding you, because you have reflected, contemplated, you have straightened your view, you straight away can accept him for what he is. You can prevent it from the arising of the negative thought, your reaction. You can prevent it from arising. Not preventing him from doing all those things. Don't go and tell him to shut up and also forget about that. Allow him to be. Then you need to apologize, say, I'm sorry if I caused you any misunderstanding or whatever suffering. I really sincerely would like to apologize because it was never my intention. I really don't know. I never meant it. Then if you need to silence, you just silence and say, sorry, it's okay. Thank you so much for letting me know. I understand why you are so upset because I must have done something wrong. forgive me, yeah, I have done that. So if you say such pleasant and good speeches, nobody will get angry with you. Understand? Then they will tone down and say, it's okay, it's okay. Okay, next time be careful. Or I say, never mind, it's also my fault. I shouldn't have shouted at you. And then you realize the relationship become better. But when you start to argue and get angry and retaliate, I tell you, when the two ego clash, you know what is the result? Yeah? What happened? Conflict, argument arise. Sometimes you are not careful, they become violent. And you can just die over one small incident. Just because you have anger and evil. So life is like that. You have a choice to become miserable or to become beautiful. You have a choice. That's why Noble Eightfold Path liberate you, free you, bring forth the good life. So after your right effort to abandon and prevent it from arising through straightening your view, the other two right effort is very easy. Right effort to arise the appropriate wholesome thought, wholesome speech, action and livelihood that are still not in you, that you have not developed or cultivated. And then you go and write down all the pleasant, gentle, good speeches. When you listen to the talk, you write it down, what I say. Then whatever vocab you can find. Like Sister Liang got a book on virtue. But you might read with understanding, you know, that book is not Dhamma, not spiritual. It's more knowledge. So virtue is different when you look at it from the point of view of Dhamma. Virtue is absence of the three evil roots. But the one they share with you on motivation theory, got a lot of what they call very strong, what they call will involved. That is a positive thinking. Law of attraction. You think of wealth will come. That one got greed behind, got ambition behind. So that is not virtue. It may make you more cunning. Or more determined. But your intention behind is selfish. Although you can disguise it in the name of to be successful, to motivate myself so that I can become successful, so that I can become financially independent, so that I can become a leader in society, so that I can get my promotion and all those things. So that one, you have to be careful. Yeah, these are mundane motivational theory where the Dhamma is not there. Of course, it's positive thinking. Make you successful. But you have to know the law of karma actually take into consideration your mental intention behind everything you do. You deceive and cheat to get there, and then it has its consequence. Understand? If you develop wisdom and understanding and seize the condition for you to get there, you can also achieve the same by using your understanding not to have any negativity or evil. Then when you realize and achieve those success, you are more beautiful. Understand? And that comes with a lot of understanding and reward. So this is what the Dhamma can actually help you. So the fourth right effort is, after you have cultivated this, what they call wholesome thought, wholesome speech, wholesome action and livelihood that are still not in you, you arise the right effort, the last one, to refine and perfect upon all this wholesomeness that you have done or cultivated. And that complete the four right effort, then that phase of life is already very beautiful, when you can abandon all evil that has arisen, prevent them from arising. You already know how to avoid all evil. Understand? Then when you cultivate wholesomeness, you do good. The first two advice of the Buddha you fulfill. You only need to develop wisdom after that. Then go into patipatti. The second phase, cultivate, silence your mind, develop daily mindfulness, insight into phenomena, develop the insight, penetrative insight into the characteristics of nature. Then you come to know this form of mind, condition arising, karmically conditional for you to use. He no you, he no me. Then you are free. Your mind can liberate straight away. You can use it to live life. And yet no need to worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. You don't need to worry about life anymore. And all of perception, all of consciousness, all of feeling, all of the mental states, you know, they are all anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Never you. That's why you liberate. Your mind is totally different, free. So, all this can bring about great transformation in you. Great understanding in you. Then when you have that understanding, when you understand life, you know how to live life, and then life becomes meaningful, beautiful. Then you can live the second phase and third phase of Dhamma beautifully. Actually, your life already start to improve when you move into the second phase. That I explained just now. You only need to do the first phase. First phase, like this chart, learning of the teaching. Get this understood clearly. Then you will have a lot of wisdom. This is where you have to develop the first turning wisdom, which is Suttamaya Panya. Listening to the Dhamma, then straighten your view. Then you can read or you can hear all the recording, everything. So all this can bring about understanding. Then you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into all this truth that you have read, listened, or heard to actually stabilize your understanding. Then you assimilate them. And this will bring forth the base for you to receive subsequent truth. So, first phase, when you understand through first turning, second turning, wisdom, means Suttamaya Panya and Cittamaya Panya, you already know what is life, understand not? You already know the secret of life, but you cannot live it yet, understand not? The Dhamma is just like knowledge level. You understand you have to avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind to develop wisdom to free, but you cannot do it, understand not? Then you go into the second phase, Patipatti, the cultivation. Put this Dhamma into practice so that it becomes a living reality, so that you can live that reality. You can avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. It's not a theory anymore, like the four-right effort. You can really abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech and action. You can really abandon and prevent them from arising. Then you can cultivate the right effort to bring about all the wholesomeness and refine upon them through the last right effort. Then when all this can be done, then you can actually move into the Patipatti, the second phase of purification of mind, where you develop the turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. That one, you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. You cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Develop Samasati until very stable, until Sati become Samadhi. Then when Sati and Samadhi is there, you will have the ability to see things as they are clearly. Then when that happens, wisdom keep on arising. No more delusion, no more conditioning. You no longer act with your memory. You act with direct seeing, you act with understanding, you act with the wisdom within your nature that you have realized. Once you clear this, you become enlightened, then the third phase of Dhamma, the noble life, the happy life, the life of the enlightened being is possible. Okay? Then even as you move through the second phase, your life already keep on improving. Because initially, theory, you cannot live. Then as you purify, as you cultivate, you become better and better. Even the first right effort, when you can abandon the unwholesome thought, speech, action, and livelihood, you already so much better there. Then when you can arise the right effort to prevent them from arising, you really become very beautiful. Yeah. Then when you have the mindfulness to insight into phenomena, your view again transform. You become very clear in your understanding, and the penetrative wisdom completely awaken you, and you become different. Then you know very clearly what this form of mind is all about. Then the five degree of form of mind, you become very clear. Then what the Buddha said under the first noble truth, final summary, you understand it very clearly. The Buddha said, in short, it is due to your delusion, the condition, your grasping and your clinging to your five aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering or dukkha. Now that one become very clear, because you can understand what this five aggregate of form and mind is after you have developed the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay? That will summarize what you need to know about meditation and the cultivation. So it's very easy. You only need to do phase one. Then phase two is very easy. Really, very easy. Because when you understand, you do your understanding, like I always said, it becomes very easy. Agree or not? Not like last time. Don't know what the Dhamma is. People say like that, try. People say like that, not. Do. Then you think all this is meditation. You think go retreat meditation. You think come here sit meditation. But you don't know what is meditation. And you don't know the essential Dhamma. You don't know why are you not peaceful. Asana. And you don't know. You don't have to fight the hindrance. You only need to develop the spiritual focus. All this is the learning. The understanding of the teaching. And when you understand, you don't have to waste your time getting lost for so long, looking for what is vipassana, attached to method, technique, teacher, run here, run there, read this book, read that book. Like yesterday, I met one, actually my personal friend's hometown friend who went to Australia. Very complicated. My very close friend, same hometown, good friend, went to Australia. He worked for Kuai Lo. He was only about 10 years of my junior, I think. Coming to 50, I think. About 50. You know what he said? He tell us. Yeah, he's that friend. He's very close to me. He know I understand this thing. So his friend came back from Australia, stayed with him 1 week now. Then he talked to him. I think you need to meet one friend of mine. He will solve all your problems. Then he called me out for lunch yesterday. I said, okay, can. So I thought, have lunch with this good friend. We used to have lunch. He suddenly introduced me to his good friend from Australia. Then this friend told him what. He said, I got a lot of problems recently. He said, I cannot sleep. I got problem with my work, my boss and all those things, with my life. Then he said, people say meditation very good. He go everywhere, try. Go internet, check here and there. He said, very confusing. He said, everyone say different things. Don't know which is right, which is wrong. Then he said, that time I cannot remember this word. He said he go into one meditation where they put music into his ear. Asana. That make you feel very calm, very peaceful, very soothing. I say there is a word I forgot. But now I remember. Auto-suggestion. Asana. It condition you. It auto-suggest to you that imagine you are now in a very quiet and peaceful setting. With nature's vibration, and then all the sound, the music come out, then you feel peaceful, you feel calm. You are now in what frequency of peace? Alpha, beta, theta, they lead you in slowly, slowly. That's transcendental meditation. And many meditation, they teach like that. So auto-suggest and make you peaceful. He said, this one when I was there, I peaceful, I calm. But after that, I come out, square one, no different. He said, I really don't understand. So I told him, very simple. No need to understand anything. He looked at me. He said, what you mean no need to understand anything? I said, because you cannot understand, so why you want to understand? Then he said, how do I start? I said, very simple. You can start by asking yourself, who are you? What are you? Then he looked at me. He said, I am the name, Mr. Kok. I said, Mr. Kok. I'm Mr. Kok. Is that really you? Then I say, is your body really you? He looked at me. He said, sure, me. I say, can we just go down to basic? Who are you? What are you? Apart from the name that people give to you. I say, you start from understanding who you are, what you are. Then only you can talk about life. Understand? Talk about meditation. You don't even know who you are, what you are. Then who is living life? Who is meditating? And what are you doing? All this without understanding. Then I say, life is equivalent to what? How much time do I have? Oh, good. Okay, so I can start here. I start with the first question. Who are you? Remember? We went through this, right? Who are you? Then the other one is, what are you? Okay. Then after that I say, what is life? Because if you don't understand what is life, you don't know how to live in it. Correct? Then, how do you understand life? So I say, if you know what is life, you will know how to understand life. Then you will know how to live life. Correct? But first you must know who are you? What are you? Then only you know who is living life. Understand? Can follow that? You don't even know who are you and what are you, then who is living your life? I ask you this question. Who is living your life? Your thought is living your life. Understand? You never leave because you never realize who you are. That form and mind, the human being, is not you, understand? Understand? There is a nature within. That one also not a person, understand? But if you don't know these two, you cannot connect them, you really don't know who you are, and you cannot live. If you deludedly grasp and cling to the human being, you remember the human being? The first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. There is sakayadity, right? Correct? Self-delusion, is there? Then, because you believe that one is you, the human being, then there is this delusion about the self, the atta, the personality, the ego. You think you exist. That's why you can have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. This is all your suffering, is it? And when you have this personality, you can also become possessive, selfish, understand? Lustful. This is the evil root of greed. Then you can have emotional negativity. All the various mental states of envy, jealousy, hatred, unhappiness, sorrow, and lamentation. So all this, I say, is the evil root of hatred, anger. So, fear is delusion. Okay? So, what I tell him is, I said, very simple. Then he asked me back, he said, What is your meaning of life? He said, what is life according to you? So what is life according to you? To live life is to what? To live life is to, how do you live your life? You go through, is to go through existence, isn't it? Correct or not? That's why you exist as a human being, isn't it? Understand not? So existence is life, understand not? Existence is life, correct or not? So if you want to understand life, you must understand the nature's law. Nature's law that governs life and existence. That governs life and existence. So if you understand this, you will understand the secret of life in there. Correct or not? So nature's law that governs life and existence, I say there are two types, like I went through with you. Scientific law and the spiritual law. Remember? The five nature's universal order of Panchaniyama. I say the scientists become very good at the first two laws, physical law and biological law. Utuniyama and Bijaniyama. That's why they are so smart, so intelligent, and they progress so fast. Then he looked at me. He said, yeah, correct, is it? So I say, spiritual life is, you must understand the spiritual law that governs your life and existence. You must understand the three great spiritual law: law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth, Dhamma. If you understand this, you won't get yourself confused and entangled. As otherwise, you always go and create your own suffering. So you entangle yourself, and like every now and then, you bang against the wall. So because you don't know this law, and you don't know how to live. Yeah, you don't know there is such a law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. Then I say, you don't understand who you are, what you are. That's why you get yourself deluded, confused, and create your own fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. And then I expounded the Four Noble Truths to him. I said, this Four Noble Truths is the secret of life. That's why the first right view is law of karma. Okay? That one can understand. Second one is dependent origination, the 12 link. Law of mind, citta niyama. That one don't explain to him. He cannot understand. The third one is law of dhamma. That one is the Four Noble Truth. Understand not? So I say, Four Noble Truth is very simple. I say, the Buddha summarized all of life into this Four Noble Truth. If you know this Four Noble Truth, it's like you understand the secret of life. Then you know how to live. He said he understands. No? He read from the internet. No? He said, I heard before Four Noble Truth. I understand. Okay, first Noble Truth. You know what his answer? No? My dead friend laughed like anything. Life is suffering. No? He said very loud. No? And he thought he know. No? He said, yeah, well, life is suffering. No? He said, I suffer so much. Huh? But I said, are you sure that is the first Noble Truth? I said, can you check the internet again? He don't even know the first Noble Truth, the eight condition. After I explained on it, he said, I don't know. I said, your problem is you cannot get what you want. This is your suffering, your boss one. When you are with people whom you don't like, this is another suffering. Then there is fear of separation, that you will lose your job. This is your suffering. I said, then he looked at me. Wow, how come nobody teach like that one? So Dhamma is like that. When you understand, you don't have to go and look through all the internet and learn here, learn there, and make yourself more confused. Understand? That's why I say phase one, very important, that chart. Suyan took it down so that I got more space to write. So that chart, don't throw away. Understand? The three phases of Dhamma are very important. Phase one is the most important. And now I'm going through all this because I want you to understand how to do it. Understand not? I have actually spoken on all this many, many times. But you cannot see the full picture. You cannot understand how it can be applied. That's why the phase one, you have to go through all this. That was what I did when I was young. I looked into the sky and I said, who am I? What am I? And the answer is, I don't know. We are that I really don't know. And my nature tell me one thing, I must meditate to understand. That's it. That was 1971. And I don't know what is meditation. That's why I inquire, I search, I find out myself. Nobody taught me. And I know how to meditate on my own. That's why you must have your path. Even if you don't have your path, if you are born during the Buddha Sasana where the teaching is there, then you get hold of the people who understand, you also shortcut, you also learn very fast. So all this you don't have to go and look internet, look everywhere, run everywhere all over the world to chase for teaching and teacher. Straight away you can zero down and understand. Then when you understand, this is very logical and easy to understand, isn't it? Because if I don't understand life, I don't know how to live. So to live life, I must understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Whether there is God or no God, I have to find out. I have to test, put to test myself. Whether everything follows a nature's law or whether there is a creator God, you can find out. That's why the Buddha said, no need to believe anything. Investigate. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. That's why you must have sati. Yeah. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very unique because it has sati, mindfulness. It can silence its mind to develop understanding of things. It can go beyond thought. Otherwise, you use your thought. Thought-based meditation will make you very intelligent and knowledgeable. Understand? You got a lot of knowledge, but you don't have understanding and wisdom. That's why you become rigid. You argue a lot, and you, what they call, you try to be right all the time, most of the time. And you cannot break through because you are limited by the instrument you use. Because knowledge makes you rigid and you think you're very smart, very intelligent. So every time you bring forth theory that you don't know how to apply and use, you don't know how to use it in life, and you don't know how to live that reality. Most of them is, they can tell you what to do, but they cannot do. They want a lot in this world. But the one that can do and can share with you, very rare, very rare. Even like the lecturer, he can teach you, very good. But you ask him to answer exam question that somebody else said, he also cannot do as well as the good student. Sometimes the own question he said, he also make mistake. And most of them copy from text. Yeah, they cannot set their own question. It's not easy. So for this one, I just asked him these two questions. Then after that, when I mentioned this, he straight away pay attention. But he got very confused after that. Well, the other friend tried to explain to him the five aggregate of form and mind. He said, that one is the most important, is it? After Theo taught me that one, is it, about 5-6 years ago, he said that one make him, his mind free. Not like last time. Last time, a lot of attachment, a lot of worry, a lot of what they call, a lot of delusion. He used to project the thought, used to think that this form and mind is him, worry about it getting old, getting sick, and die, worry about the loved one, everything. After I explained the five aggregate of form and mind, I used the car and the driver analogy and explained clearly to him why the physical body, which is only element, no knowing, it can never be you. Like what we go through under this Cameron Highland retreat, remember? Anatta lakata sutta, we went through. Anatta lakana sutta. Sutta on the three characteristics of nature. So I explained very clearly all the five aggregate. He tried to like pump everything in into that friend within that 1 hour of lunch time. Someone got to eat, got to listen. I said, never mind, too difficult, too complicated. I said, we can start very simple. I said, who are you? Who are you? She said, I'm Ayla. That one got no meaning to me. You are you means the name given to you, is it you? Yeah, they call me by that. That is mundane, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the fact and the reality. Who are you? I said, you cannot deny you got a physical body. Right? Is that really you? he got to be careful. No? After that, he got to think. No? I said, yeah, not me. He said, because he has been with me for so long. Then you cannot deny you have a mind, which is a consciousness trapped inside this body. That one I can agree. Is it? These two combined is what the Buddha called the five aggregate of form and mind. This human being, the Buddha said, is not you. He look at me, you know. Inside must be questioning, how can it be not me? You must be crazy. Don't know from which planet you come from. I say, you can understand this through a clear mind. Understand? Not through a view and an opinion. Understand? Then I say, to test you further, is there a thinker behind the thought? Well, that one more confusing. Then I say, how do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? He looked at me. He said, I learned from school, knowledge. I said, how do you learn from school? Your five senses, isn't it? Without your five senses and your mind, there can be no knowing in there. That's why, how do you know the world is through your senses, understand not? Your senses, upon contact with the mind, trigger of consciousness. You become conscious of the world, understand not? You become conscious. You know the world through your seeing consciousness, through your hearing consciousness. That's why they say the world of sight and sound. You heard of this, isn't it? And you experience and know the world through your taste, smell, tactile, and thought process. This is how you know the world. And this is how you interact with the world, understand, through your speech, action, and thought process. And this is what life is all about, understand? If you don't even know that you have these senses and this mind that create this consciousness, and this is how you function as a human being, then how do you start? No way, isn't it? How you meditate also you don't know. Who meditate also you don't know. You have been gullible. That's why I say you must do with understanding. So understanding comes from studying the Dhamma, listening, hearing, reading, contemplation, reflection, inquiry. The moment you develop this and understand clearly, then very easy to understand life. And the moment you understand life, the decision is very simple. I always say what? Your life. You decide how you want to live. Correct or not? Nothing to do with me. I have to keep on reminding him. You know, he tried to argue in many ways. You know, but this book say like that. That one say like that. To me, cannot be like that. I say, what you feel, what you think, not important. I say, most important is your life. You decide how you want to live. Because whether you agree, don't agree, listen or don't listen, nothing to do with me. Because of affinity, you know my friend. And my friend is very close to me. That's why I got condition, I share with you. If you don't change, I say, if you continue to behave the way you used to behave, you will continue to be in this state. Maybe worse. Not only cannot sleep, you already in depression. When I tell him you're in depression, he don't agree. No. He said, no, I'm not in depression. He said, and I cannot sleep until I've got to sit on the floor. And sit on the floor also cannot sleep. That's why he said a lot of problem, a lot of suffering. I said, these are signs of problem, stress, depression. Then later on he talked about the boss, everything. Then he tried to justify through the thought. No. He said, actually that time I cannot sleep, I got problem. But now I think I'm okay. Oh, then no need to talk. Then you can do what you like. Because life is yours. You have to make that choice. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice, is it? Because you hold that key to your own life destiny, you know. Nobody can help you except yourself, you know. If you decide not to change, the result is already cast in stone. You know, you already gone through this miserable process of living life. You end up so miserable, so full of suffering, and yet you don't want to change, and stubbornly thinking that you are right. You know what the consequence will be. Then after that, he before we finish off the lunch, he said, "Thank you so much, Mr. Teo." He said, "I appreciate a lot. I go back and think about it first." He said, "Then later I will contact you." I said, "No need to think. You just silent your mind." I said, "Don't think. When you are not ready with the understanding, the more you think, you become more miserable." I said, "You learn how to silence your mind and make yourself peaceful so that your fear is less, understand? So that your worry is less, so that you have clarity. And when you are more calm and more peaceful, you will understand what I say. Otherwise, you cannot understand because the mind is so conditioned." No? Before I even explain, he asked question already. Before I even explain, he asked question already. You know what I told him or not? "You are not listening. How can I explain and help you?" I say, like the cup. I say, "Yours is full." "Oh, he read about that Zen analogy." No. "Mine is empty," he said. "Then why you ask questions?" "Ah, because I'm curious." He said, "I want to know." That is knowledge. What is there to know? Knowledge cannot free you. You must understand, not knowing. Understand means assume you don't know anything. He more confused. He said, "I'm here to listen, to understand. But you tell me not to not to know anything." Not to know anything means all your views and your idea and your concept for the time being, put aside. Don't come and allow it to interfere. Otherwise you got a lot of questions. Before I even explain this, he said, "According to the internet, they don't teach like that one." He said, "They teach you to go into meditation. They teach you to do this, do that." I said, "You're not listening. I'm teaching you the basic. So that when you understand the basic, the foundation, you know how to inquire. You know how to move yourself. You know how to inquire and find out for yourself." And this type of teaching, I don't know why, they are not listening now. That's why they cannot understand. To you, it's very clear. Clear? But it takes a while to. Last time when I tried to explain all this, I think very difficult to go in. But this is not the conventional way of teaching. They go into the Dhamma straight away. And they cannot relate to life. That's why you cannot develop the true understanding. But Dhamma is for living. Understand? Dhamma is related to life. Where Dhamma is truth. Understand not? All of truth that you experience in life belongs to Dhamma. That's why the Buddha teaches the noble truth. Truth that can make you enlightened one, a noble one. Okay. 5 more minutes. Got any question? Sorry, today no meditation reporting because of the condition. Boy, can meditate or not? Just, Oh, very good. Can, You more peaceful? I give you one book. It will help you. Everything that I say is in that book. The 12th September one. Suyan, you have or not? Oh, this one is not. Color same, but the wrong book. The 12th September one. Anybody have? The blue color one last time. I think Suyan here should have 1 or 2 copies left. Mother should have, like, give the boy one. You go back and read. It will help you a lot. You look so much better now. Oh, inside the box. Ah, yes. Law of dependent origination. Oh. Never mind. I get it from my car. My car still have. Wait. Yeah, I pass you the key. My wife go and get it. Inside the red box, not the other pink one. It goes okay inside the box. I'll open the gate, You all got any question or we still got a few more minutes, 4 minutes. Yes, Polai. Yeah. You can ask. Get the mic for her. Can. Sharing is better. Yeah, Sadhu. That is very good. Yeah. She is Polai. New to your class. She is from Tuesday class. She is the one I told you from Batu Pahat one. Song's friend. You can share now.
During Achalo
came, yes, that night,
start, I feel my meditation sequence have changed.
Yes.
And I feel that something going through and something changed, that why my habits all different.
Yeah, very different.
And today I realized that after I came here, I realized, I have to understand the habit.
Yeah.
And just now when I came, I just straight away meditate. Today a little bit different.
What is it?
Today is different.
Oh, very different. You want to share?
And
hey, see, the other one, the blue color one. The other box.
And there's two words that habit equal wisdom.
Yeah, sadhu. From habit, you learn and develop wisdom. Because the message comes from the higher being. The first time he came here, she also got message. And the message is very unique. Maybe later we get her to share. You see, when she said habit equals wisdom, you sure confused one. Understand not? It's not habit equals wisdom. Because the instruction from there is learn to be mindful of your habitual tendency. When you understand habit, you develop wisdom. Understand? So it should be when you understand. Habit, you develop wisdom. Understand? Habit is your habitual tendency. Through your wrong view, you continue to react to what you see, what you hear, what you think. Understand? There's the book. You can have the book. So, habit develops. Understanding habits develop wisdom. Any other message?
Because I feel that it really doesn't matter how many times that you meditate. Because on Tuesday, we're doing the meditation. Before you finish already, I just the energy that awakened me.
Yes,
that,
yes. The wisdom energy.
It doesn't really
matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Correct.
And have to understand that it's not the sequence that planning in life.
Correct. It's not like that.
And you can feel the energy surrounding you when you want to meditate.
Correct. Yes.
Or when you...
You can have that sensitivity because for her, she cultivated before in the past. That's like the first time she came to my house, I already told her. You are different. Because the first time he came, after the Tuesday class, he waited until everybody left. He and Song left. He said, "Brother, I got a question. Can I ask?" I said, "Can." So he asked. I forgot what was the question, but it was a very important question. Then after that, I tried to answer. Then from the way she asked, where she heard my Tuesday talk, he said, "What you teach is very different, isn't it?" He said he used to go with the mother to the traditional Chinese temple and all these temples, where their teaching is also different. He said, how come you're teaching like that one? Because she become very attentive, very interested in the sharing. Then I say, okay, you listen. I now explain to you the Four Noble Truths. I say, once you understand this, you will penetrate very fast. And I was so surprised. I just finished the First Noble Truth, then I quickly run through the second, third, and fourth. We are very late already, almost 12 o'clock. She not only attentively listened, no. First time listening, that whole thing like went in, she had so much joy, you know. Then after that, I say, late already, should go back already. We are 12 o'clock or 12 something. Then I say, okay, go back. Then as we walk out, I can feel the anxiousness and the whatever, because she wants to know more. Then I try to give her a confidence. I said, you don't worry. I said, you have your past. Otherwise, you cannot understand what I say in just one, what they call proclamation. There is no way, unless you have your past. That is Sutamaya Panya. First turning, listen only, first time only. He already knew what this thing is. Then after that, a lot of things happened. Then, very new, last few months only, you ask her, you ask Song. There's a Song also that night come and ask me, Ratio, how come it take me so long? How come she's so fast? I say, you think you take so long, she's so fast. She in the past cultivate so long and work so hard, you never know. you cannot compare just like that. He said, I came here so long already. He said, I already know Ratio so many years. He said, early on, who would introduce the whole thing? Then go retreat, come and tell me many things. I said, your time will come, but because you got certain things that in the past you did can cause obstruction. That's why you have to ask for forgiveness. All that. Then break that one, then determine and do it again. Never too late. Then after that, wow, she progressed very fast. She understands every time she come and sit in my house, he can feel the energy. Like he said, you know one. You no need to plan one. When the energy is there, you will know how to sit on. That's why she will feel it and sense it, because the nature can sense it from the past. But it needs to be connected. Connected was because the faith was very strong, and from the past he listened, the thing went in. And the insight there, the understanding come very fast. She will know how to explain a lot of things in her own word. He said, go back and see the mother. He understand why the mother suffer. Then he keep on sharing her. Human beings like suffering, is it? And they like to play the game of suffering. You agree or not? In Mandarin, lagi best. He said, 喜欢痛苦, 众生喜欢痛苦, 喜欢玩痛苦的游戏. He said, he cannot understand. Then the mother complained to her. He said, enough or not? You haven't suffered an hour. I don't know why you like suffering so much. All the complaining is about suffering. blaming here, blaming there. Why my husband like that? Why my children like that? Why life like that? Why people like that? Not an hour. Still playing that type of game. That condition, your misery, your suffering, your fear, your worry, your anxiety. Why are you always like that? It's about time you wake up. That's why that type of thing that come is very penetrative. And then the previous Thursday, last Thursday, the message like best. Oh, that one leave it another time. next Thursday. Now not enough. You can continue a bit. Continue a bit.
I feel very blessed, and yeah. I want to share this bless.
Yeah.
When you really in life, is patient.
Yes.
And is wait.
Patient to wait.
And
你要讲华语吗? Because she's Mandarin educated. Speak Mandarin better. Say Mandarin better. More fluent.
Her Mandarin. 在生命里面,当你是在被祝福,当你是在真的是用心, 你在做 meditation 的时候,你的时间会到。
Correct. Yeah,
怎么样讲啊? 是, 时间会引导你去做 meditation， 而且是很长，很深，
很深。
反而是我，如果是讲 practice， 在实习的时候，你是一天做两天，做两次或者是一次，这个是真的是一个 base,
throughout the day， 每一个小每一刻、每一秒、每一个小时 ，she meditate in the work no, office and very fast no daily mindfulness， she can do everything in life， that is meditation。That's why it's no more like before, twice a day or three times a day, before you sleep, when you wake up, and in between. Now, he realized anywhere, any place in between, throughout the conscious moment, you will meditate.
然后今天真的很感动。今天
是
进入的时候是空。
空啊，萨德。空 is emptiness。
今天是华语哦。
华语啦哈，对。
今天是
那天是英语哈。That day one the message was in English. Today one is Mandarin. Because 另外一个 cultivator 还有别的。
空，然后就一直做，然后自在。
很自在啊 ，That is the most important.
自在。
自在 at ease. If you don't have that mind, you cannot have 空. When you can have that 空。Emptiness means you are very at ease. Otherwise, the mind is not empty. The mind cannot have anything. Once the mind has something, sankara is active. And sankara, dukkang. Sankara always bring about activity, visual condition, suffering. And it's impermanent. It come and it go. But you don't understand. That's why kong is very good, silent. And he understand very fast. Continue.
And you will feel bodiness.
没有身体。
And you will experience
that. Yeah, 傻度。你要用华语讲吗？
就是你感觉不到你没有身体。
Yeah,
你是真的是在自在，而且是没有限制的。
Yeah, you are neither the body or the mind. You are neither the body or the mind.
没有了，谢谢。
Sadhu, sadhu. You all should rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's actually meant to be. Actually, she didn't know how to come here. Then there was one Tuesday I told her, I said, you can follow my car. First time I bring you. That's why that Thursday I brought her. Then after that, she went through that profound experience. Yeah, when she was here that night, Thursday, she was meditating non-stop. You all don't observe me. And there was so much joy, just like in my place there. You say, like, you just sat. Silent your mind, and you receive a lot. That's why, if you have cultivated before, your time will come. You don't worry. Sometimes you think, how come I so late only come to know the Dhamma? Not enough time. You look at her, just a few months. I think less than, 有四个月吗？没有啊，三个月最多。Three months only. And come to Tuesday class only. Then Thursday class, two sessions only. How come she can understand so much? I don't know her one. No favorism one. Even like me, for so you have my classmate also. My wife also, I cannot do anything. Because Dhamma is like that. 因缘法. Affinity, condition.You have affinity already. You wait for your condition. And you have the faith. You can move like her very fast. Where you connect very fast. You only need to be sincere, determined, diligent. Because the Dhamma is around. The consciousness is very conducive. You can transform very fast. Okay? We better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Okay, I forgot. We should thank Padmasuri and Alan. They prepared the 31 plane of existence for you in very good summarized format. You can collect after we finish after what they call sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then you make your inspiration. You can collect it from here. These three plastic is for the Tuesday class, Thursday class, and me one. Yeah.啊，是呀，那。 Oh, this one one set like that. Oh, okay. I keep this one, huh? So you all can distribute this one like this. You all can distribute this one. Yeah. See, I pass to you. Mm. Oh, okay, pass around. Tuesday class got a... okay, yeah. Then Wu Ping Jin said later, huh? Okay, we do the sharing of merits, yeah? Then transfer merits. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Sharing of merits, Siddhadeva, huh? Aka Sata Chebomata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, Devas and Nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all Devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasadukalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the garment of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.
Take one.
Huh?
No, this is one.
Another one.